So I'm supposed to talk about Chris and Sid's idea of pragmatic regulatory analysis, and I'm not exactly sure how to do that, because as I read, I actually read three versions of the piece, and as I interpreted it, it basically said that an agency should do everything that an agency now does and that courts routinely tell agencies they must do, and that the only thing that's different is at the end of the day, they shouldn't compare costs and benefits. That's a really bad idea. Now, when I heard Chris describe it a couple minutes ago, it didn't sound that way at all. So maybe I'm misinterpreting it. But to the extent that we're...
It's pragmatic analysis, Dick. It keeps changing.
Yeah. Well, one of the great ironies is I wrote a piece once that I entitled Justice Breyer, this was right after he had been confirmed, Pragmatist. Okay. And Justice Breyer, of course, has always been a big believer in cost-benefit analysis his whole life. He's spent most of his life, a high proportion of his life, talking about how important it is. I thought that was pragmatic. Now I'm told there's something else that's pragmatic that's different from cost-benefit analysis. I'm bewildered. I don't want to be too hard on Chris and Sid. Chris is somebody I've long admired, and I tried unsuccessfully to lure him away from Duke last year. I'm delighted that somebody else down the street has been able to lure him now to our fair city, and I'm sure he'll make the Justice Department actually work. But Sid has been my co-author now for 27 years. That's scary, okay? But I don't see any there. In that piece. Now, I just listened to Frank, and I've read a lot of stuff that Frank has written, a lot of stuff he's co-authored with Lisa, and I have a little bit better understanding of where they're coming from. And I can only say on that I've done a whole lot of work with stated preferences, and the big problem there that's very well known is that people state completely different preferences depending upon whether you ask them the question in the abstract and hence give them a free ride, or instead ask them the question where they're allowed to sign up to pay X percent more for electricity in order to... you get very, very different results using those two quite different ways of framing the question. And there's a whole big literature on that, and I'm not going to go... So let me just... I was going to start with Ben Franklin, but I have to admit that I was not a close friend of Ben's. I was actually quite young when he was talking about prudential algebra, so... I'm going to segue from there to Justice Breyer, who's always called himself a pragmatist, and what he said, it wasn't 200 years ago, but last month, every real choice requires a decision maker to weigh advantages against disadvantages, and disadvantages can be seen in terms of often quantifiable costs. Moreover, an absolute prohibition would bring about irrational results. As the respondents themselves say, it would make no sense to require plants to spend billions to save one more fish or plankton. So, I am frankly reassured that Justice Breyer continues to believe, as Ben Franklin did, as I do, and I'm not sure where Chris and Sid are on this. I thought they were against it, but now maybe they're for it. Well, all right, so let me just... spend my remaining 90 seconds on two other issues. One is, there is, I think, plenty of room for debate about how best to go through the incredibly difficult process of trying to estimate costs and benefits and compare the two. It is ungodly difficult. There's at least 10 feet of library shelf that have been devoted to that debate. There should be another 10, and there will be another 10. Everybody has to get tenure. I'll give you my favorite modifications. There's loads we could do, I think, that would be beneficial. One is to reduce our emphasis on point estimates, which I hate the illusion of precision. The Dr. Spock 1.43, I mean, that's silly, okay? Lisa Heinzerling's recalculation of all of the table that John Morrell published many years ago about the cost of various regulatory measures, that was very valuable, not because Lisa was right and John was wrong. In fact, I agree with John on most of the numbers, but because it illustrated the important point that the range of uncertainty is massive. I'd love to see more emphasis on range, less emphasis on points. misleading points of this cost and that, okay? Second, I'd like to see sensitivity analysis incorporated. Most of you have seen Heinz Erling's critique of Morrell's argument. Most of you have not seen my colleague John Duffy's sensitivity analysis of how U.S. News and World Report ranks law schools. And I immediately got Ricky Rebez's attention with that. This is something you should hire John. I'm not sure he's willing to put this out in the public realm. I think he'll give it to you for enough money, okay? But you look at that and you'll see that this variable makes a big difference. I'd love to see the people who do cost-benefit analysis include sensitivity analysis. And let me just toss in one final point. If you are skeptical about cost-benefit analysis, take a very careful look at where Barack Obama and Peter Orszag want to take us in healthcare. They're talking about trimming $2 trillion off the nation's healthcare bill by applying cost-benefit analysis to determine what single treatment protocol, will be available exclusively for each disease state. And I can assure you that the transposition of cost-benefit analysis into that context raises dozens of very troubling issues, and I hope there's going to be a lively debate about that somewhere.